Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
They cannot hold two disparate ideas in their head at the same time because they're fed bullshit 24/7 over the media. And I'm about to go crazy sitting here on the earphone hearing the stuff you all are saying about the Ukraine. I'm about to have a heart attack, but I'm not even going to go into it. I'm from the Ukraine. The Ukrainian, there is a large faction of Nazis. I don't know if you know this, but there's a large amount of Nazis in the Ukraine, and they actually killed my whole family. I'm from the Ukraine, and they marched my entire family, grandmothers, great-grandparents, ten siblings out into the forest and buried them alive in the Ukraine. So I don't understand why everybody's Ukraine. Well, I do understand, and that's also what terrifies me. People better wake up and do some research on their own instead of buying what comes across on the screen. And I try to shake them up, Pierce. You're goddamn right I do. I try to shake them up and crack their mind control programming. I do it for God.
Ukraine, I know what you said, and you're perfectly entitled to your views. I would say in relation to the suggestion that they're all a bunch of
you
Nazis.
You haven't seen the swastikas on those soldiers' arms. It's
the President
in the
Zelensky
news.
Zelensky himself is Jewish, so obviously he is de facto not a Nazi.
I know, but he's not a good one. Are all Jews the same? For God's sake, talk about anti-Semitic. Just because the guy's a Jew doesn't mean he likes Jews or that he's doing anything good for the Jews. I mean, so what? Who cares what anybody is? That was the whole point of my tweet. Just because they're skin folk don't mean they're kin folk. You know what I mean? Just because they're the same color as you don't mean they ain't trying to lock your ass up. Wake up, people!
Wake up, people. Welcome to Hagman. It is Wednesday, July 12th, 2023. You know, early... I don't know, what was the 90s, 80s, 90s, when Roseanne was on. I really did not like, nor did I really watch that show. And I didn't like the characters. And I've got to say this, okay. And I want to put this very delicately. This is not name dropping, okay? Not at all. But knowing what I know now about Roseanne, knowing about what she knows, I guess is the better way of saying it, and what she is doing now in the fight against on a number of levels. I mean, you've got to give her a lot of credit going up against the Hollywood machine. And especially with child sex trafficking. And by the way, the BBC, they're having a big issue with child sex and sex scandals. And if you go back to, if folks, I'll just do this. This is nothing new. If you go back to 1999, a woman by the name, I believe it was April 25th of 1999. I could be a day off on that date, but a BBC presenter by the name of Jill Dando, D-A-N-D-O, was shot through the head on her front step of her house. In what really is a still unsolved murder. What was she doing at the time? Because she would be like, I don't know. I mean, she's very, very, very well-known, very popular. I mean, even the Queen at the time, the Prime Minister, and many people had expressed their condolences. Yeah. Yeah. But what was she doing at the time? Looking into child sex trafficking. If you go to page one in the show notes real quick, and then I'm going to bring my guest on. I want to show you this. This is what we have today. Biden's Department of Justice, Merrick friggin' Garland, that piece of crap, removing international sex trafficking of minors as an area of concern. Now, you heard last week, Afia, I mispronounce her name all the time. I apologize. If you haven't seen that show, please watch that episode with Afia and her two children. But this, folks, the blood of the children is the currency of the globalists. Please understand that. With me is John Moore, thelibertyman.com, to bring some class and decorum to this broadcast platform. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. John, or folks, do me a favor. If you haven't done so already, go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark that website, listen to John weekdays, every weekday. He gives you the straight scoop without yelling like I do, or emotion like I've got. He gives you this straight scoop with excellent guests every single day, Monday through Friday. The Liberty Man, soon to be on video, but that's coming. But as well as check out the products, as well as when you're there at thelibertyman.com, you can drill down too, by the way, on his previous shows. But he's got a lot of good products, as well as good news sections and information. John Moore, how are you, sir?
Well, if I felt any better, it wouldn't be legal. How about yourself, Doug?
I'm angry, as usual. You know, my dog looks at me and she... God bless her. Today's her birthday. She's 9 years old. Anyway, we're having a little party afterwards, so you're welcome to come.
Is there cake and ice cream?
Yeah. The one time a year she gets a little piece of cake. Yes, yes, there will be.
This is your granddaughter, correct?
My dog.
Oh, dog. Never mind.
Which makes it even more...
Okay.
Anyway.
Is Creepy Joe bringing the sprinkles?
Well.
Okay. The more I see things like this, and here's the thing, the more I see things like this, and the more I delve into this area with people of human sex trafficking, the more I love my animal, my dog, okay? I mean, as simple as that, because unconditional love, and there's no... it's none of this debauchery stuff going on. So, anyway, having said all of that, what's on your mind today?
Well, Doug, we've gone over my bio a few times doing these shows for what? This is our third year, fourth year. I've lost track.
I know. It's been a while.
But we have some listeners who are wondering, how did John Moore become the man he became? So I got a question for you. There's a term in the U.S. military. The term is going outside the wire. Are you familiar with that term?
No, but probably a slew of psychiatrists looking at me might be, but...
Okay. It's U.S. military bases in a combat zone have concertina wire and trip wires surrounding them, with typically one or two or three gates to get in and out.
Okay.
So when you go outside the wire, you've left that protection of the concertina wire, the sandbags, the trip wires, and so forth. With that said, the first 3 months I was in Vietnam, I went outside the wire every other night, twice a night, by myself, at night, alone, outside the wire, in Vietnam, in a combat zone. I was ordered to do so. Sam Andrews asked me, John, why'd you do this? And I said, well, they ordered me to.
Okay, so it wasn't like you're just going for a stroll.
No.
Okay.
All right. No, and... My rifle, I had a string on the end of my rifle, about 3 feet long, maybe 4 feet, with a little weight on the end of it, so that the string would touch the tripwire of the enemy before my ankle touched it, which was another precaution we took. Anyway, I had to patrol around our building at night by myself outside the wire, twice a night, every other night for 3 months until we got enough men, new guys show up, that we could spread out that duty to where it was once a week instead of every other night. Very disruptive to your sleep, by the way.
Send the new guy then, right? This is what you're saying.
Well, the new guys were participating along with the guys who were already there. We just needed more guys to fill up the roster. But that helped make me the man that I am, Doug, along with my regular Monday through Friday duty of being a courier of enough cash to carry, to buy a brand new Jaguar, full ticker price, and a bunch of classified documents from the CIA, Army Intelligence, ASA, and so forth. Once again, walking down the street in broad daylight by myself with my attaché case in my left hand, my 1911 Colt on my right hip, and my Thompson submachine gun in my right hand as I walked down the streets of Vietnam by myself with enough cash to buy a brand new Jaguar full sticker price and a whole bunch of classified documents. That's what helped make me the man that I am, Doug.
Well, at least you weren't driving the Corvette, parking in the garage with classified documents, doing blow in the back on the back hood. So,
I was actually authorized to have and take care of the classified documents, as opposed to Vice President Biden, who was not. Anyway, I got to the point, Doug, where as a civilian, this has happened to me. I walk into a bar with a dozen men sitting there, and everybody stops talking and just looks at me.
And
I walk to the barkeep and state my business, and everything goes back to normal. So that's my persona. I can walk into a bar, and everybody stops talking and looks at me. Who's this guy?
In a way, I thought this is not pejorative. That almost sounded like the start of a joke, but I walked into a bar. So you early on, and so our early lives, although I did not serve, I never served in the military. I feel like I did in a sense because, when you're 17, 18, picking up body parts from different, it teaches you things. I mean, you learn very early on, right?
It changes who you are as a man.
Yeah.
And all this began 15 months after I graduated from high school. So I was a very young man at the time.
Okay.
Very young. Young.
And of course, you know, your worldview changes when people start shooting at you.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And knowing that you shoot back helps, but we weren't allowed to shoot unless we were shot at first or there was an immediate threat that we were allowed. You know, the rules of engagement weren't too bad.
But. Let me ask you a question. I mean, seriously, okay, you're out in the middle of bum, you know, in a jungle somewhere, all right?
Right.
And you come across an enemy, all right? You're telling me that you can't shoot the enemy unless you're told to shoot the enemy, right?
Because it's not that so much. Your circumstances are a bit incomplete there. Is it just one enemy? Is he by himself? Do you have people with you? Do you have the opportunity to get him to surrender so you can get valuable intelligence from this guy? You always give the opportunity to surrender, if possible, so you can get intel from this guy. That's more valuable than a dead guy.
You know, I was talking to somebody, I'm not going to reveal who had Pablo Escobar in his sights more than once before he became Pablo Escobar. Okay, you know, the one that we all know and detest.
Right.
And never shot, never took the shot, couldn't shoot, wasn't allowed to shoot.
Right.
Okay. So my question to you is, here we are today in 2023. We got a lot of bad guys out there. We got Klaus Schwab. In again, a bad guy in my view, okay, in my opinion.
Right.
Bill Gates, any number of individuals. And folks, you know what I'm talking about. If it were me, and this is just me, hypothetically, and I had a rifle with a long distance scope and I was good at shooting, and you know, I'm gonna tell you what, that sucker is, he's meatloaf, man. He's done. He's gone. He's orders, no orders. I don't care, which is probably a good thing why I don't have that ability to do that. So anyway, why aren't more people doing this? Why aren't more people, why aren't the people who have,
well, it's
go on.
I've thought about this actually, Doug, quite a bit. A friend of mine, a Vietnam vet, combat vet, in fact, you see the helicopters where the guys slide down the ropes into the jungle, or jump out of the helicopters. There's somebody that gets there first and with a chainsaw to make the clearing. That's what my buddy did. And so, he told me privately that if he finds out that the clot shot, the vaccine, has killed somebody he loves, he will take immediate action personally. I was talking to a deputy sheriff, had dinner with him Monday. He didn't want to take the clot shot. He felt it was the right thing to do. Now he regrets it deeply. I can't speak on his behalf, but alpha male warriors who have been harmed or had somebody they love be harmed by a company or an individual, that could become a pretty serious thing very quickly, where the alpha male warrior decides that he will get justice with his own two hands. Has that happened already? Very likely, because it'll be covered up. And for example, the media hardly ever reports bank robberies anymore. They just don't want people getting the idea that they can rob banks, which all you need is a piece of paper with a note on it. You don't even need a firearm to rob a bank. But they basically stopped reporting bank robberies for that reason. So if there's been individuals, moms, dads, anybody who's taking a direct action against a pharmaceutical company or a doctor or a clinic because of the clot shot, I doubt that it's going to be reported, because they don't want copycats doing the same thing, Doug.
Yeah, but somebody's going to know, John Doe is missing, or, you know, Dr. John Simmons is missing. Somebody's going to know Bill Gates is gone, or Klaus Schwab. Gee, we haven't seen him for a while. What's that smell coming from that room? Anyway, but we're not seeing that. And okay, so I know that on a lower level scale, okay, I get that. More, because I'll tell you what, all right, if this is not just, you know, bravado talk, but if someone hurt my grandchildren, okay, I would do everything in my power, and maybe I'd lose, to take them out. I mean, I'm talking about taking them out, gone, zero. They're done. If anyone hurt someone I love, I would put all my power into that. But I'm not seeing, okay, we need to go up the food chain here. We could probably take out 300, 400 people and change the world, okay? Now, I know it's easier said than done, but hey, if you take out 3 or 4 as opposed to 300 or 400, that might be a start. I'm just saying, that this is my observation, hypothetically. Okay, so but what you're saying is, maybe it's already been done and not reported.
Oh, I think at this point, almost without it has. The fatality started increasing dramatically June of 2021. That's just over 2 years ago. And, you know, many people are bright enough and smart enough to make the connection about how and why their spouse, their child, their grandchild died, to make that connection. And I don't have evidence, but what I do have is 5 decades plus of understanding and dealing with human behavior. And I'd say without a doubt, Doug, that there has been some direct action taken against pharmaceutical companies or clinics or doctors as a consequence of the clot shot hurting and killing people. I'd say without a doubt that's taken place, Doug.
Well, okay. Boy, folks, to me, this is difficult to talk about because I think what the action that, and John, what I think the actions that we need to take are extrajudicial because obviously you see Merrick Garland, for example. Merrick Garland is a useless piece of crap. More than that, no, he's useful to the child sexual predators. He's useful to the deep state. All right. This is the way I think that we should handle things. And again, this is just my particular view while I'm still allowed to have it. But, and John, you remember this, and I think we've played this. Go ahead. See the guy in the red there? He was accused and basically admitted sexually abusing that man at the phone booth. His son kidnapped his son, took him states away. And that's the uncensored version, by the way. If you go to HagmanPR.com or subscribe to us on Rumble. Why? Well, you know why. Because the system is broken. We'll take care of it. Go ahead, John. Thank you for playing that.
Well, that's a very dramatic film there. It looks like it's fairly old.
Yeah, it's 1980. It was in the 80s. I knew the year at one point.
Well, from the hairstyles alone, I suspected it was pretty old.
But you know what? That guy did not do one day in jail. The jury there said, I get it. We get it. He didn't do it. Now, he did some community service. Now and by the way, that man who shot the other man passed away recently. But I get it. Okay, I can see this coming. And you know what? Maybe it's sad to say I'm okay with this. I'm okay. Fauci, take notice. Take notice, Fauci. Birx, take notice.
Oh. There was a along similar lines. It's been more than a year ago. A German doctor who came to the realization that the COVID-19 vaccination was killing his patients that he was giving and recommending, the doctor committed suicide once he came to realization that his recommendation was killing people. He committed suicide. But, now, have there been others? I don't know if there's been others, but it's
the majority thing he could have been, instead of taking the car's way out, the thing he could have done was stop and said, you know what? Let me tell you what I was told and just, I mean, gone out and just preached to the ends of the earth saying, I'm so sorry.
Well, I agree, Doug, but we're all different. You know, every human being is different. This doctor's unique persona caused him such grief and such remorse that he decided to take his own life. And that was his decision, and that's what he did. Have there been other healthcare professionals that have done this? I don't know. But the majority of men and women that get involved in healthcare do, in fact, respect and honor the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. And to find out that your recommendation has been the cause of severe disability and death to possibly, in the case of this doctor, maybe 1,000 or more people. One clinic could easily give 1,000 or more of these vaccines to individuals. It's a hard thing to have to deal with and live with, Doug, but that was his decision. Have there been others? I don't know. It's certainly not going to be publicized, will it?
No, not at all. And what about the people, John, what about the people who continue to push this and believe? Do you think they really believe?
It's going to be a mixed bag. Look what happened with ivermectin. Almost all the national media was making fun of the horse paste, is what they were calling it.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, one state in India, a state with 240 million people in the one state of India, basically made COVID go away with ivermectin at the cost of, what, 10 cents per patient, something like that? So it's hard to analyze from a distance which media personalities really believe it which ones are being told what to say and which ones don't believe it but want to keep their paycheck and their pension. And we can't do that from a distance, Doug. We simply can't.
Well, I don't know what to say anymore.
Doug, you and I started investigating. My first murder investigation was the fall of 1973, 50 years ago this September.
Hey, congratulations, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was a double homicide. The young man, the suspect, the murderer, was genuinely a psychotic individual. He will spend the rest of his years locked up where he can't hurt anybody. But what we're witnessing right now, and you witnessing, and all our listeners and our viewers are witnessing also, is the worst crime in recorded human history. It's taking place right now before us.
Yes. And
it is.
And by the way, together we've got, if you've got 50, I've got 38. So that's 88 years of homicide investigation experience. Interesting. Go ahead.
Well Doug, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
We have clinics, doctors, hospitals still giving the COVID-19 vaccination and boosters. Now, my regular Friday guest as of a couple weeks ago is Marie Lassiter. She's the elected coroner of Texas County, Missouri. She's a scientist, the author of three books, and she's also on the governor's panel to help teach other coroners their trade, by the way. She says the following. Within 3 to 5 years, every person who's got one vaccination and one booster will be dead. That's what she says.
Let me tell you something. When you say that, okay.
That's what she's saying in her practice as a coroner already.
And that's a pretty definitive thing to say.
It's very definitive.
You know that, right?
It's very definitive.
Because
it's very alarming. It's very disturbing. But, and it's also probably, unfortunately, very true.
But you know there are different batches with different components with different impacts, right? So
Absolutely. Well, and there's different, and I just recently got a list of the Pfizer batches, which are the poison batches, as opposed to the ones which don't hurt you quite so fast or quite so much. But yes, there are different batches, and there's some evidence, and I need to look more into this, more evidence that the poison batches were given more to the red states than the blue states.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to see more evidence of that, but given what I know, that's probably highly likely.
And you know, the other thing too. Okay, so boy, how can I get that? This is not black and white in my view, okay? Because you've got some when you listen to Karen Kingston, she makes a lot of sense, for example, talking about
self-assembling
nanoparticles. Okay, so why give that with the intent of having that person dead within 30, 60, 90 days or 3 years, okay? You would want something like that, software program, if you will, to be able to control the masses later, okay? So, again, it's not just black and white, but we know that if you have anyone with a needle, or I'm sorry, a syringe, containing this jab juice, they're not good. Okay, now you may have the corner druggist, oblivious to the larger agenda, but then the people higher up, they know what the hell's going on.
Of course they do. That's a given.
So I would be more apt to forgive the corner druggist. You know, the old guy that says, oh, okay, thinking he's doing good. And then, however, one would hope that once he understood that this is not good, would stop. And if he didn't stop, then he's part of the problem. I guess what I'm saying is to make a statement like your guest made. And by the way, folks, John Moore, every weekday, Tell me, I always get confused with time zones. What time is your program on?
Eastern time zone is 8 to 11.
8 to 11.
Central is 7 to 10 and so forth.
Right. Okay. The real time, folks, Eastern time, 8 to 11 a.m. For the Liberty Man show. So from what your guest said, if that happens, there's going to be a boatload of pissed off people in a couple of years. I mean, really pissed off people, I believe.
Absolutely. And it should be. And it should be.
I'm fine with that because this is, you're right. Next, well, in addition to Ukraine, the cluster bomb issue, that Vindman, that despicable son of a gun, and others saying, yeah, let's use cluster bombs, when Psaki, that redheaded Chucky doll from the White House, the Spocks from the White House, said when Russia was going to use cluster bombs, oh, that's crimes against humanity. Now, Biden used it. Hey, it's fine. We should use them. Okay, it's the same principle. You've got people who love death more than they love life. You got Satanists. You got Satanist pedophiles. And yes, there's a connection there. Running this establishment, running this place, that need to be escorted to the door. Okay, and you pick the door.
Well, let's talk about cluster bombs, but for those who don't know, the American cluster bombs have 1,000 plus, sometimes many 2,000 small bombs that are supposed to go off shortly after they're delivered to the bomb site. The issue with American cluster bombs is they don't all go off when they're supposed to. They can remain there for days, weeks, even years, and hurt innocent people days, weeks, years into the future. I understand the Russian cluster bombs are better than ours in terms of their ability to actually explode when they're supposed to explode. There's more than 100 countries have declared cluster bombs as illegal to be used. The United States, of course, is not one of them. And every war has its own individual horrors and bad things that take place. But introduction of cluster bombs into Ukraine by the United States is certainly something that should not be done, in my opinion.
Well, you know what? You would know. John, you would know because you've seen this. In case you don't know, John, and he said that he was in Vietnam during the height of the war, essentially. I mean, you know,
during the Tet Offensive. And The empty shell cases from the gunships were going down my shirt during Tet, and I had to button up my shirt tighter so that the empty shell casings, which were still really hot, because they're coming.
How many burns you got? I mean,
well, they healed up pretty quick, but they were coming so low that I could count the rivets on the bottom of these helicopters. So the brass shell cases were still really hot. But yeah, I saw a lot. I saw things no man should ever have to see. And I never want to go through another war, obviously. There are men who like war. They've become part of it. Their persona is that unique persona that ingratiates themselves with warfare. I'm not one of them. If I have to fight a war, I will, but not because I want to.
And do you think, honestly, in this conversation, do you think that people like yourself who have experienced war, or people who went to Iraq, Afghanistan. I mean, look, when there's a difference between seeing gore on television versus walking into a room and seeing just a complete, horrendous death. You can, because you walk into the room, or you walk into, in your case, the jungle or wherever it might be. I mean, you could smell it. You can, I mean, it overtakes you. It changes you. Do you think that is stopping? Because I know a lot of boomers, and that's people.
That's our generation, right?
Yeah, people use that as a pejorative, and I don't think so. People like us, I mean, to me, I think that stops a lot of otherwise really hacked off individuals. I mean, people who are really hacked off from doing anything because they know that they've been there. You've been there in different circumstances. I've been there. I've smelled it. I mean, I don't care how many showers you take. You can't get it. It doesn't matter. Does that come into play at all, do you think, mentally?
Well, it's of course it would. Everybody who's been in combat has changed. There's no one prescription fits all as far as how they're changed. But combat will change a man or a woman forever. Obviously, it will. And how they respond to threats, how they don't respond, the way they look at life, the way they look at risk-taking, and so forth, of course they're going to be changed. And I think the majority of combat veterans I know are very mild-mannered men who understand death. They know death. They've seen it firsthand. And they're dependable, stable men that I know I can depend on. That's the combat veterans that I know, Doug.
Well, and again, that's why you bring the decorum and class to this platform, because you know, it's easy to get riled up, at least with me. It's easy for me to get riled up and say things, and but I mean them. But, you know, when you start saying, okay, this is what we need to do, when you think about the things you've seen, that we've seen individually, collectively, in different venues, it gives cause to pause, I suppose. And folks, please don't underestimate what we're saying here. Folks, understand that war, when they say war is hell, war is hell. And, you know, people are calling for a civil war here in this country. You don't know what you're asking for. I mean, and if you think you do, multiply that by about 1,000.
Okay. Right. My personal definition of war is organized insanity.
Exactly.
Every human concept that we believe to be true and be right is thrown out the window when there's warfare, especially when it comes to human life. And that's my personal definition of war is organized insanity, because in my opinion, that's exactly what it is, Doug.
Do you think John Moore, and I'm asking you professionally, and folks, John Moore is my guest. He's part of the program. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark that website. Again, a lot of good intellectual discussions during his radio program, 8 to 11, the real time. If you go to thelibertyman.com, you can listen to him as well as the archives. Please do that. And respect the man. Really respect the man, because he knows that of which he speaks. But do you think that the globalists, as we call them, the non-elected leaders and the psychopaths within the government, do you think that they're pushing us toward this civil war?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
My Wednesday guest, he's also on with me Tuesday, but my Wednesday guest, Jeff Nyquist, he's authored 6 books on the international communist conspiracy. The communists don't tolerate the social disruptive things going on in the United States. They don't tolerate it in Russia or China. They simply don't. Now, the things that will eventually tear apart the fabric of society. The George Floyd riots, for example, this transgender insanity, things like that won't be tolerated in communist Russia. They won't be tolerated in China, because those governments want a cohesive society. They don't want mentally ill men who want to become women being promoted on their media in Russia or China. Do those people exist there? Of course they do. They don't allow mentally ill women who want to become men to be promoted on the media in Russia and China. Do those people exist in Russia and China? Of course they do. But I heard one commentator mention that 40% of the students at Brown University now consider themselves part of the LGBTQXYZ community.
I saw that.
And that's the same, you know. Typically now, there's been homosexuals ever since been human beings. Typically, it's no more than 3% of any given population, whether it's downtown New York City or a primitive tribe in the Amazon that has no written language. It's typically 3% or less of any given population.
And you know, the additive chemicals, Alex Jones was right, atrazine being one, into the water supply and into whatever we take in, causing some of the feminine characteristics in males.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And people laughed at him and people mocked him. And you know, look who's correct. So,
oh, I know. I know.
But 40%, I saw that article, 40%. So that means the indoctrination factor, because you don't have that number.
It's socialization. It's socialization is what it is. The combination of peer pressure, of the media that they're exposed to, is all causing. You know, Brown University, of course, is a Ivy League school. So the majority of these students come from upper middle class families. And those who've earned scholarships, of course, very bright young men and women who, and of course, what we don't know is what were their feelings before they entered the premises of Brown University? Did they feel that way already? Or were they changed once they became a student at Brown University? But that information was not provided, was it, Doug?
No. And let me ask you this. What do you think their parents think? Okay, now,
I've seen photographs of parents at drag queen events where their children were there, and the parents are smiling at their children being in the audience of the drag queen events. Now,
they need to be put down. I don't care who hears that. You take a child. Well, I'll tell you. Let me rephrase that. You take one of my grand. Eric knows this, and Eric's the same way. Eric the tech. I mean, you take one of his kids. And subject one of my grandchildren, his children, to an event like that, I'm going to tell you ain't going to be walking out of that place, okay? And I mean that.
Well, let's get back to your question about the parents. So I believe, from what I've seen, the evidence I've seen personally, is that many parents would support whatever the young adult, because if you're in university, you're going to be 18 years old. Whatever the young adult wants, the parents are going to support it. So there's a large percentage of parents who are mentally ill also.
I was just going to say that. So what you're saying is that they're crackpots too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And my state, the state of Missouri, has made it illegal for doctors to mutilate the genitals of a child, a person under the age of 18. It has become a crime in the state of Missouri to perform surgery on a child in the state of Missouri that damages or mutilates their genitals or their breasts.
Good. Good. And I think that's the other thing that bothers me. You've got doctors willing to do this. What's up with that?
That's one reason why the Bible is such a valuable document. The Bible is a study in human nature. And we may have more computer capacity in our smartphone than they had to allegedly send men to the moon. That doesn't change who we are as human beings. Human beings and human nature never changes. And to get back to your question about the doctors, the human behavior of greed is what it is. These surgeries are very expensive, and a large portion of that goes into the pocket of the doctors performing surgeries, so they can pay for their boat, their airplane, their condo, whatever it might be.
But it's got to be, you know what, brother? To me, it's got to be more than greed. Because if I were a doctor, if I was a doctor, okay, and somebody, and I knew how to, but didn't do abortions, infanticide, killing a child in the womb. Okay, there's no amount of money there. I mean, I don't care what you. I mean, there's no amount of money.
Well, Doug, that's how you are and how I am. But in the absence of any other evidence, we have greed as evidence. Now, otherwise, we need to climb inside the head of these doctors, which can't be done, can it?
No, you're right. That's, yeah. Well, you can certainly tell their lack of
movement. Now, they may make public statements as to their true beliefs, whether they really believe that cutting the breasts off young women under the age of 18 is a good thing. Maybe they may say that publicly. I don't know. I haven't seen any videos of it. Have you?
The only video I saw, and this is an older video, there was a what they call an abortion clinic, a charnel house is what I would call it, where a doctor came out and somebody was doing filming and the doctor said, yeah, I do this. I am Satan or something to that effect. It was just a gross display, a despicable display of really satanic, demonic behavior by this doctor. But you know, no, to get back to where, so yeah, I don't know. I look at society right now, brother, and I see us on the cusp of World War III. I see this total debauchery of society. I see these whack jobs walking around with pink hair, blue hair, or even worse, the ones that look normal, but the words that come out of their mouth are nothing but demonic, and I'm just ready, you know, I hit my knees. And I say, God, is it time yet? I mean, what about the? I mean, you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. It's the speed at which our culture is changing is breathtaking. It really is breathtaking. One of the commentators made the going back to the LGBT thing. That when the Supreme Court made it allowable for men to marry men and women to marry women, that was to be the beginning of everything speeding up in terms of changing our culture at this level. Now we're at a point in Tucker Carlson, in his most recent interview, he said, and I'll listen to part this morning, I'll listen to the rest later today. He said the following, this is news to me, it may be news to you, that American public schools are now removing urinals from the boys' restrooms. Were you aware of that, Doug?
No.
I wasn't.
No. And you know what? Is this nationwide?
Well, it's he didn't mention what school districts, but there's thousands of school districts, so I don't know how many are where. My presumption would be blue cities and blue states, but other than that, I have no further information.
Well, I'm going to find out in my school district, and if they're removing urinals, I'm going to talk to the contractor, and Eric and I are going to collect some urinals, and I'm going to tell you, whoever's making those decisions, their living room is going to be filled with urinals.
This goes back to conservative Christian patriots paying attention to their families, their church, their career, and ignoring school board elections, ignoring city council elections, ignoring public library board elections, allowing them to be filled up with these Marxist, communist, Satanist sympathizers. That's what's happened, Doug. That's how this is taking place.
We've lost control locally.
Absolutely.
And you've always said, and you've said that, you know, we can make the changes, but we have to do it locally. And I agree with you on that.
We found out locally that the locals' library was going to have homosexual story time in Steelville, Missouri, the county seat of my county, Crawford County. And that was a decision of the appointed library board. The response from the community was so immediate and so strong with a number of threats of violence that they shut that down. Now we have the controversy of how these library board members are appointed. What we're looking at doing is changing to making it an elected position where hopefully this won't be allowed to happen anymore. But it didn't come to the attention of the community until they announced the homosexual story time for children at the library. That's when it became to everybody's attention, just who the library board is, how they come to be there, and so forth. The new board members are recommended by the existing board members, so it becomes something that's self-sustaining as to who's on there, Doug.
It's interesting how they've kept us busy, isn't it? I mean, to me, they've kept us busy. We've lost track of, you know, how things are playing out, you know, how things are. We've lost track of
And I've thought about this a lot, Doug, the difference between urban dwellers and people in the country. Urban dwellers, and I lived in an urban environment until 20, 21 years ago. Urban dwellers are consumed with, in terms of discretionary time, professional sports, theaters, music events, that they're surrounded by all these events, and it takes up the majority of the discretionary time. People in the country don't have that kind of distractions. There's no professional sports you can watch in person without driving 100 miles. Music events are much spread out, a lot farther apart. There's no, in my entire county, there's no movie theater to even go to. So they have more time, more discretionary time to pay attention to what's important, which is events in their, the political events in their county, what's going on in their county, and what's going on with the local school board, and so forth, because they don't have all those distractions that take place in their urban areas, Doug.
And that's a good thing, and we need to get back to that. Because, okay, so now we've got the news where apparently the FDA has fast-tracked approval for lab-grown meat, I mean, using cancer cells. It's just so grotesque. It's out of control.
There's no need for it. They're producing something that there's no demand for, no need for. We don't need lab-grown meat. We've got plenty of beef and could have even more. The price has been artificially put down, but if the ranchers were paid a better price for their beef, you'd see a dramatic increase in the beef herds within a year or less.
I would be glad to pay more for farm-raised beef than grocery store crap that you don't know where it's coming from. And that's the other thing too. Under Obama, he allowed the removal of labeling as to where the beef came from. Okay,
that's right.
So this whole thing has been planned for some time. Oh man. I'll tell you what, we need some house cleaning, and really from the local level on up. However, we're running out of time.
Well, we do. I refer to the opposition as socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims. They know they're not going to win the 2024 election.
Are we even going to have an election, brother?
Seriously. That's a question, but at the moment, I don't see evidence that anything that would stop it. Other than rumors that aren't supported by very strong evidence. President Trump really needs to come clean on the COVID vaccination. He's still taking pride and taking credit for Operation Warp Speed, which brought to the public a vaccine, or vaccines plural, that were under development for 6 years, by the way. My private sources tell me 6 years to develop these. There's nothing experimental about them. Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, he says in no uncertain terms, and I got the videos of him saying this at my website, that the COVID vaccines are meant to hurt and kill people. It's not a side effect. It's what they're designed and meant to do. You're not going to find any stronger evidence than that, Mike. Excuse me, Doug.
So, okay. Why then? I want to know from Trump. You're exactly right. I want to know what the hell. Okay, if I was across the table from him, I don't care who he is. Give me some friggin' answers. You tell me why you're so hot on this. Knowing what
there was an explanation that he's not stating publicly, an explanation that may possibly be made sense, is that Operation Warp Speed shut down what was supposed to be a 10-year lockdown.
Right, I heard that too.
And
there's
some merit to that. And if it's true, why not say it?
Exactly. Okay. Don't blow smoke up my ass. You tell me exactly why. Okay. And if you don't, then you know what? Shut up and sit down, because you've got no credibility.
If President Trump did this not knowing that the vaccines would hurt and kill people because they were designed to, if he thought they would be more or less safe, he's no... and Donald Trump's no scientist, no doctor. He has no more medical training than I do, which is none. If he did it thinking the vaccine was less dangerous than a 10-year lockdown, which would have destroyed our economy in 3 years or less, then maybe that's why. But regardless, he needs to go public. He needs to admit publicly that why he really did this. Was he lied to? Was he threatened? Did they threaten to harm his children or grandchildren? We need to know that. And so far, we don't. We simply don't.
We do. And I can't believe when you and I get together how quickly time goes. We got about 4 minutes. I'm going to turn this over. I mean, you got the last 4 minutes, my friend. You're making more sense than I've made all week. So go ahead.
Doug, people are scrambling for knowledge. Knowledge about the COVID vaccine. Knowledge about how to mitigate. I don't know. There may be a way to mitigate the effects of the vaccine. I hope and pray that there is. In the meantime, treat those who have been vaccinated and got boosters with love and care and respect. We don't know how long they'll be around. Make plans to live your life without those people. It may be your spouse, your children or your grandchildren, siblings, parents. It doesn't matter. Be prepared to live your life without those loved ones, part of your family anymore, because that's where this is headed, Doug. And be prepared to live a life differently than what we have now. The threats against our economy, against our country, are very real. The threat of World War III is no fantasy. If Ukraine becomes part of NATO, we're instantly in World War III. They're fast-tracking Ukraine to become part of NATO, by the way, eliminating some of the barriers to Ukraine. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, we'd be in deep trouble really quick.
Yeah.
The threat, the Communist Chinese have said publicly they intend to colonize the United States without Americans being present. That's a very clear and present danger. The Russians, the same thing. They intend to get Alaska and part of Canada. That's what they get out of this mess.
Well, over my dead body takes on a real meaning in that case then, right?
It does. I mean. It does. So pray without ceasing. Learn to become a ham radio operator. Learn first aid and CPR. Advanced first aid to treat wounds. Get the skills necessary. Hopefully become part of a hobby farm. Either buy one, start one. Become part of hobby farms need two things, money and labor. If you can contribute money and or labor, you could possibly become part of a hobby farm and be self-sufficient with food and water and shelter. That may become a very necessary thing in the not-too-distant future, Doug.
I heard Mike Adams a long time ago. Somebody said, well, how should I prep? And I'm paraphrasing. Prep like you're prepping for the 1800s.
That's right.
Living in the 1800s. And
that's right.
I agree with that.
Absolutely, I agree with it. Yep.
And I'll tell you what, thelibertyman.com, that's the website to go to. If you want more of this intellectual discussion discourse, I would highly recommend listening to John Moore's show, 8 to 11 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. He's got an array of guests that are just stellar people, including, like he said, Jeff Nyquist. And others. So please do that. Bookmark thelibertyman.com. And as soon as I get my schedule tamped down a little bit here, I'm going to have John on more because we share a lot of common.
Oh, we do. We've had a lot of common life experience, which gives us a synchronicity that other guys don't have.
Yeah. And you know, you bring, again, you bring a lot of, decorum and class to otherwise my yelling
your rants.
My rants,
your rants.
but you know what, to me they're righteous rants and ladies having
I understand and appreciate the emotion behind your rants, Doug. I really do.
Yeah Well, you know what, it's again colonization over my dead body, you know, changing sexes over my dead body when it comes to my kids and my grandkids. John, thank you so very much.
Thank you,
God bless you.
Good as always.
All right. Folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I want to thank you so much for your belief and your support in this platform. And again, hi to Karen and Rome. I got to get to sending an email. And others who listen, may God bless each and every one of you and have a great day.